Title of today's sermon is The Confession of Faith. Can you say that together? Confession of Faith. Amen. So let's start from Romans chapter 10. Open your Bible or your smartphone. Romans chapter 10. You know, one of the reasons why I like smartphones is that I can engage with my Bible anywhere. On the train, you know, wherever. Even when you're on a queue. Romans chapter 10, verse 8 to 10. Yes, let someone read for me. Romans chapter 10, verse 8 to 10. Who would like to read? New King James or New Living Translation? Yes, I saw you. Romans chapter 10, verse 8 to 10.
But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That is that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved.
Amen. Continue. That was nine.
With the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation.
Amen. Now let's just give you the background. Look at from verse 5 to 7. Romans chapter 10, verse 5 to 7. Yes? Romans 10, 5 to 7.
For Moses writes about the righteousness which is of the law. The man who does those things shall live by them. But the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend to heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Or who will descend into the abyss? That is to bring Christ up from the dead.
Amen. Now, you can be going through things in life where you are thinking, oh, if Jesus was here right now. Amen. I mean, like if Jesus was sitting, you know, like some songs they say, hold me close, let your love sorrow. You don't need to sing that song. You can sing, I'm not banning you. Amen. Because he can never fail in his own part. Amen. He can't. Amen. Jesus, Bible says we are engraved on the palm of his hands. Amen. He's not going to let you go. Yeah, you can walk away. But he will not fail in his own path. If you are staying in his arms, he won't throw you away. Amen. And if you have drifted away, you just need to come back and stay. Amen. He's holding you close. So long you are willing. Yeah? So long you are willing. Amen. So sometimes you feel, oh, if Jesus was here right by my side, yeah? Everything would be all right. But he said that when you are living by faith, it's not about thinking that, oh, we will go and bring Christ up. Yeah? We will ascend in heaven and bring Christ down. Or just in case you thought that, you know, Jesus, you know, is cannot do, like, you know, Jesus descended into hell, because now you know it from the Bible. He said, we will descend into the abyss and bring Christ up from the dead. Yeah? The purpose of those statements is like, because you can't see him. Yeah? You can't physically hold him. Does not mean it's not there. He said you have to live by faith. And say when you're going to live by faith, that word of God, yeah, represents God. He said the word of God is near you. Where is it? You know, if you watch some African movies, yeah, they put their Bible under their pillow. Yeah? Before they go to bed. The Bible under your pillow is just a book. Yeah? The life in that Bible is spirit. That word must enter your heart. Amen? Sometimes you're watching a movie too. They are binding the devil and they're using their Bible. Amen? It's not this book that will bind the devil. It's the word inside. And those words must enter your heart. You say, where is the word? He said that word is near you. Yeah? But it doesn't mean that because you have a small Bible in your pocket, then the word is near you. No. The word that is near you is where? In your heart and in your mouth. If the word is not in your heart, even if you are surrounded by a million Bibles, it's not near you. Yeah? But even if the word is in your heart, yeah, you know the Bible. There are people in this church that you know the Bible. Amen? It's not enough. Say with me, say it's not enough. According to that verse. Yes, it must be in your heart. See, if the word is not in your heart, even if you are confessing it, you are just reciting, you are doing the recitation. You are saying, twinkle, twinkle, little star. It's not in your heart. So it doesn't carry any power. But if it's in your heart, it's not enough. It has to be in your heart and where? And in your mouth. Then it can produce result. Many times you are believing, but your confession does not agree with your. You are confessing according to your feelings. You are confessing according to your provocation and your irritation. Amen? You are praying and say, Lord, you know, touch my son. You know, make him a new creation, you know, transform. Then you tell him, when you're waiting, you start criticizing him and telling him all the bad things about him. Your confession has not agreed with what? Your believing. You just feel that you have to say only what you see and only what you feel. Yeah, if you do, you have the right to do it. The only thing is that when you do that, you are doing it just the way the unbeliever will do it. So you're not going to produce any new results. If I'm going to produce supernatural results, I must do something different from what the unbeliever does. Hallelujah. Many times we confess according to the world. You watch TV. Yeah? The way the language you use, you go back, you use it in your home. You use it towards your wife, you use it towards your husband, you use it towards your children. You're not going to produce supernatural results. You're going to produce natural results. Yeah? Which can include confusion and disharmony. But if I'm going to produce supernatural result, the word has to be in my heart. And where? And where? In my mouth. So that if you squeeze me a little, what should come out? If I squeeze you a little, what should come out? The word. Then you will see supernatural result. Amen? Praise the Lord. Open your Bible to Mark chapter 11. Now, some of you know this, but the Holy Spirit will help me to teach it, you know, in a clearer way. Mark chapter 11. So one of the things I found out that we, you know, that's helped me in my life in terms of living victoriously is to know when to keep quiet. Not keeping quiet because you are proud. You know, sometimes you are keeping quiet because somebody, you made a suggestion, yeah, and they didn't agree. Then you withdraw. You're quiet. That's not the one I'm talking about. Yeah? Behind that withdrawal is pride. Yeah? Because your ego has been bruised. Okay? And everybody does that. That's not the keeping quiet I'm talking about. I'm talking about a keeping quiet when what you are believing is being challenged, is being provoked. You are being provoked to say the reverse. Yeah? You are trusting God to bless somebody. But because you are provoked, you are not about to curse them. That's when you have to keep quiet. Amen? Because if you don't learn to keep quiet, your feelings will take over your confession. You will just confess how you feel. And someone will say, you know, you can't blame me. That's how I felt. But how you felt, is it going to produce a result that you want? Amen? Praise the Lord. Let's go to Mark 11. Mark chapter 11. And someone read for me verse 22 and 23. Mark 11, 22 and 23. Where's my mic? Yes, thank you. Yeah, you can go for it. Mark 11, 22 and 23.
So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God, for assuredly, For assuredly, I say to you, whoever says this to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says.
Thank you for that. You can put it off. Let's just go, let's stay there a bit. So Jesus is saying that we should have faith in God. Now he's explaining how to have faith in God. How do you have faith in God? You have a mountain that is before you. Usually, in my experience as a pastor, when people have a mountain, they will pray. If they are believers. Yeah? If you are a believer and there's a mountain, you will pray. Won't you pray? Yeah, won't you pray? I've not really seen any believer that has a mountain that is really troubling them. They won't pray at all. They will pray. Even unbelievers will pray. Amen. If they are not coming to church, the day they have a mountain, that's why mountains are important. Amen. But many times you pray, then you leave it there. Yeah? And it's like, okay, God, only you. But Jesus said, if you have a mountain, what do you do? If you have faith and you have a mountain, what do? You will speak to a mountain. Someone say, Pastor, how often do you speak? Joshua 1, it says, this book of the law will not depart from your mouth, but you will meditate on it, what? Day and night. I didn't even say morning and evening. What's the difference between morning and evening and day and night? Anybody? What's the difference between morning and evening and day and night? It's subtle. Yes?
The day is the first 12 hours and then the night is the second 12 hours of the day.
I like the answer. What about morning? Morning and evening?
They're both within the 12 hours of the day.
They're shorter. Amen. Day and what? Do you know what that means here? If you are really believing and you have faith in something, when you wake up in the middle of the night spontaneously, yeah? It depends. Sometimes you're sleeping and you had a bad day or you can't sleep or something. You will find out that when you are in conscious, you will speak. You just speak the word of God. You will speak. It doesn't matter that it's night because that word is in your spirit. And your spirit does not sleep. Amen? Say, my spirit does not sleep. Amen? So, when the word of God is coming out of your mouth to address your situation, yeah, you are putting your faith in action. Amen? You are in faith. The word is in your heart and also where? In your mouth. You are going to have to speak to that mountain. Yeah? The word of God. You are not speaking it to you, your own words. You are speaking the word of God. You are not speaking to it your own, just your own desires. Your desires must be in accordance with the word of God. Amen? Praise the Lord. Let me digress. You know that your words, yeah, can cause you a blessing or trouble. Yeah? Now, someone comes to me and complains and say, look, you know, my husband is not treating me well. Yeah, he's maltreating me. I say, what did you do? He said, nothing. Okay? But then you ask the husband, what's the problem? The husband say, well, if you see the way she uses her tongue to floor me. Now, someone says, okay, my husband is bullying me because he treats me roughly. But you can also bully someone with your mouth. You know? Many times you can use your mouth to create or complicate a situation. Amen? It's both ways. It's both ways. It can happen. A man can do it. A woman can do it. Yeah? You use your mouth. You can use your mouth to bully somebody. Yeah? And say, if you touch me, I'll call the police. Yeah? It's still bullying. Yeah? You still open the door for the devil. And if you don't fix that door, yeah? Because there's nothing else you want to do. The devil will keep operating. The Bible says in Proverbs 18:21, it says, death and life are in the power of the of the tongue. Yeah? It's not just only, you know, the person reacting. Yeah? The person provoking. I don't know in terms of man, but in God's eyes, if God is going to judge it, he will judge the provoker and the reactor. And the provoker gets a bigger judgment because they started it all. Amen? So it's important that when you're under pressure, you don't confess wrongly. Amen? That's what I'm trying to say, that you just hold it. Someone say, hold it. Just hold it. You can go and take a cup of coffee. Go for a prayer walk. Yeah? Just hold it. Don't say anything. Yeah? If you don't have anything good to say. Amen? You may save yourself a lot of trouble. It's still about confession. And I'm teaching a bit non-confession. It's about confession. Confessing right means I must also restrain myself from confessing wrong. Amen? Sometimes you are provoked. You know? Something like if you're a parent, you had a child, you've given them instruction on what to do, and they do the exact opposite. And the first time you spare, the second time, you feel like saying something. But that's not the time to say. Because you will open your mouth and say the wrong thing. You may sow a wrong statement into their life. Amen? So you know what I learned to do? I just say, go to your room. Amen? And you come down. Amen? That many times we don't speak out the right thing. We're more, you know, criticizing, analyzing. For example, I decided that when my children give me the money, I'm going to say, God bless you. Amen? Unconditional. Amen? Unconditional. You're speaking a blessing. You're sowing a good seed. Hallelujah. You're sowing a good seed. You have to speak to your mountain. You have to what? Who said so? It's Jesus. You're welcome, my brother. It's Jesus. If I'm in faith, I can't keep quiet. Day and night, what you are believing in your heart must be spoken with your mouth. Otherwise, the connection is not complete. Amen? For example, I prayed, I said, Lord, I need a better job. Anybody needs a better job? Thank you. Amen. You know, let me say something about this here. If you don't have desire, it's almost like you're not alive. Amen? If you have desire. Okay, I know you don't get it, so let me help you. Mark 11:24. Please follow your Bible. Mark 11:24. Somebody else? Mark 11. Let's talk about desire. Proverbs says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. When desire comes, what is it? It's a tree of life. Mark 11:24, please.
Therefore, I say unto you, what is... start again. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire...
What things soever you desire. Continue, please.
When you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them.
Amen. What will you have? What you desire. Amen? What is it? Say, I'm okay. You know, whatever happens. No, you have to have a desire. Now, we want you to have a right desire. We don't want you to have a wrong desire. But that doesn't mean that you shouldn't have what? Desire. If you are not willing, you can't get a blessing. Isaiah 1 says, if you are willing and obedient. But you must be what? Willing. Sometimes you are obedient, but you are not willing. Can anybody explain that to me? Any scenario where someone can be obedient but not willing? Come on. Anybody? Have you ever found someone like that? They are obedient, but they are not willing. Any scenario? Anyone? Come on, think about something. They are obedient, but they are not willing.
Just if you look at a football game, someone is a striker. The coach has told him to be obedient, stay within the box, but he's not willing to take the chances. So his obedience, what they've told him, but he's not willing to execute.
Thank you very much. He's staying within the box. He's keeping the rule. But he's not willing to take it further. And he may produce no goals. Amen? Usually when people are not willing, yeah? It's either unbelief or they are offended. You know, when someone is offended, they will stay in the box. You told me to stay in the box? stay there. But they're not going to take any chances because they're offended. Either that or unbelief. They don't believe. Yeah? Someone who doesn't believe in their team. They will obey the rules, but they're not going to take any chances. Amen? And the Bible says that when you are not willing, yeah, you lose the blessing. Whatsoever you desire, say desire. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. Wrong desire is bad. But having no desire is very bad. Amen? You must have desire. Because desire is an expression of your will. Amen? Your faith starts from... You see, one thing about faith is that your will plays a role in your faith. Someone came to Jesus and said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me whole. Jesus replied, he said, I will. It's not a problem on my side. You mean? I am not the one keeping you sick. I will. I always will to make you whole. If you are willing, and what? I'm willing. Amen? Someone asked me, was begging, he said, what do you want me to do for you? Amen? What do you want me to do? He went to a pool, a man has been there 38 years. Jesus told him, I forgot the question. And he started giving us stories about, I've been here for 38 years, and every time the angel comes to stir the water, there's nobody to help me, to put me. There. What do you... Amen. Amen. You have to be willing. You can be in the midst of a place where blessing is, people are getting blessing, and you are there. 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, no blessing for you. Because you are not willing. And usually when you're not willing, it's either unbelief or offense. Amen. And what step I said, when you're in that state, the first step is to repent of your unwillingness. Say, Lord, now I'm willing. Because when you are willing, you are able to go the extra mile. Amen. You see, when you are willing and you're not given an instruction, it's easier to obey it. Because your heart is open. Amen? You're not just keeping the rules. You can follow simple instruction that will bring you breakthrough. Amen? So these are all elements. When you look at faith, your desire is important. Amen? Your desire is what? It's important. Jacob had a dream. It wasn't a dream. It was a vision. Yeah? There was an angel. Was there an angel? He was going with his family back to his land, and he was going to meet Esau, his brother, and he has offended Esau. So he was afraid for his life. And he had this dream, and the angel showed up. So what did he do? Do you remember the story? Anybody? What did Jacob do? Anybody? He fought with the angel. Yes, and what did he say? He made a statement to the angel. Anybody?
I will not let you go until you
bless me. I will not let you go. Amen. It's not about being polite. Amen. He said, I'm in a situation here. I'm at crossroad. Yeah? I can't go back. I've run away from my uncle. I can't move forward. Esau is there. And I have this encounter now. I'm not going to let it pass me by. I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. Amen. It was actually the Lord. It wasn't just an ordinary angel. That was the day his name changed from Jacob to Israel. Amen. Just that name change is blessing. Amen. Jacob means a deceiver. Israel means a prince with God. What brought the change? What? Desire. Willingness. He found that he has encountered the Lord. Yeah? It's not going to remain the same. Amen? It's not going to what? Remain the same. You see, it's the attitude. You can be in a place and just take things for granted and miss the blessing. Somebody else can come to that same place. So you see this story of Jesus walking about and the crowd were pushing on him. Yeah? The crowd. They were all pushing on him. You know when you were pushing on someone, you would touch them, yeah? One way or the other. But you didn't get any blessing. But there was somebody who was not even worthy to appear in that crowd. This woman with the issue of blood. But desire. Willingness. Yeah? And she did the person come to meet her where she was? No. She. You see, I'm just trying to show you the connection between your willingness and your faith. If you're not willing, your faith is not working. Amen. When you are willing, it helps you to go the extra mile. Yeah? In your faith. In your faith. It's like it gives energy to your faith. We don't know how many people were in the crowd. Let's guess. 100? 200? I don't know. One person bypasses 200 people, yeah? And touches Jesus with purpose. Purpose. Others were touching Jesus. Yeah, maybe it was just popularity. Yeah, you know, I was reading the news yesterday. There were two pop stars in London. Check your news. One went to a barbering saloon. The moment people spotted them, crowd. Video, streaming, online streaming. You know, nowadays, it's all streaming. I went to a wedding with somebody in this church. Everybody's streaming themselves live. You can see the best smile. Maybe this lady does not smile at all. But on this selfie, she looks excellent. We are fixated on ourselves. Amen? But, so maybe we're just starstruck. Jesus is walking about. Yeah? Let's go and meet him. Yeah? Let's try to touch him. You know what it feels to touch a star? Or take a selfie with a star. But this woman with the issue of blood went with purpose. This is not about Jesus the star. This is about Jesus the healer. And she already said in her heart, let's go to that story. You'll see her confession. Let's look at her confession. Come with the story. Where is it? The woman with the issue of blood who has a good smartphone now. Find it. The woman with the issue of blood. Where in the Bible is that? Luke chapter 8. He's following your Bible. And then we'll gradually, it'll be a short message. So we'll gradually be rounding up soon. Luke chapter 8. Yes. And what verse do you have there? Okay. Let's follow this story and look at the confession of our faith. Luke chapter 8, and we're looking at from verse, what you said again? 43. Yeah, okay. So let me just get someone to read. Luke chapter 8 from verse 43 to verse 48. Okay, but let's just start with 43 and 44, just to keep it. No. Let's do 43 to 45. Yes? Where is the mic? Luke chapter 8, verse 43. Sorry. Yes, thank you. I'm coming to you. Luke chapter 8, verse 43 to 45. Please follow in your Bible. We're looking at how this woman used her desire, yeah, and her confession to get a breakthrough. Go on, please.
Now, a woman having a flow of blood for 12 years.
Continue, please.
Who had spent all her livelihood on physicians and could not be healed by any, came from behind and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her flow of blood stopped. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied it, Peter and those with him said, "Master, the multitudes throng and press you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus said, "Somebody touched me, for I perceived power going out from me."
Amen. That's okay. Let's stop there. Amen. The motives were touch, they were pressing and pushing. They were touching him. Yeah? But it could be a touch of, I've touched Jesus. The star. Amen. What a special day. If it's today's world, they take a picture. Guess what I saw in town? You see that on Instagram. Amen. But this woman touched Jesus with faith. Amen. And when she touched Jesus with faith, what came from Jesus? What flowed from Jesus? Power. Amen. But let me show you a confession. Can you find that confession for me? Luke chapter 8, verse. We need another reference. There's another reference. Check your Bible. There must be another reference to this story that has the confession. Where? Mark. Okay, let's go to Mark 5. You see, that's why your Bible is so good, because whatever is missing in one part, another part we fill it in. Mark chapter 5. Matthew, Mark, Luke. So Mark is before Luke. And what verse, please? Mark 5. Do you have it? Oh, you're not sure? Okay, let's find it. Mark 5. Yeah, let's just confirm. Then I'll come to you to read it, if you don't mind. Mark chapter 5, verse 20. Let me just verify that we have it. Mark 5, from verse 25 to verse 29. Mark 5, 25 to 29. The confession of faith. Okay, so with that, and then we finish that in a roundup. Mark 5, 25 to go on.
And a woman who was there, who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, she had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet, instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed.
But let me just wait. That's what version?
NIV.
Okay, let's switch to New King James. Yes, sometimes we just lose, sometimes we can lose some meaning. Because NIV says she thought. But let's see what New King James says. Let's allow him. Okay, go on. Go on, please.
When she heard about Jesus,
yes,
she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment.
For she said,
if only I may touch his clothes, I will be made well.
Amen. Of course she thought it. Isn't it? Before you say something. The only time you say something before thinking is if you are speaking in tongues. If you are speaking in tongues, you are thinking you have a problem. Your tongues is not to your understanding. It's from your spirit. You don't need to understand it. You don't need to think. Someone say, can you pray in tongues in your mind? No, you can't. Because it has nothing to do with your mind, except it's that interpretation. But if you are speaking in human understanding, it goes through your mind first. So she thought it. But if I said she only thought, I've lost it some revelation. She thought, and what? And she said. What did she say? She said, if I touch his clothes, what will happen? Was she speculating? It's determined in her heart. If I touch his clothes, I will what? I'll be healed. Amen. Amen. So, you can see that she was willing. She was determined, and she had desire. She spent money. She lost all her money. I mean, she already reached a point where she should have given up. Yeah? She should have given up. They've told her, nothing can help you. Yeah? The best medicine cannot help you. Yeah? But she reached out. And she confessed, if I touched him, I will what? So what happened then? When she touched him, what happened? Power flowed. Amen. Power flowed. You see, sometimes when God wants to walk in your life, he can use the most ordinary thing or the most ordinary person to reach you. But it's how you receive it. Amen. Sometimes God will give you a simple instruction. Naaman had leprosy. Goes to the prophet with gifts. The prophet did not even accept his gifts. The prophet did not invite him into that. I don't think the prophet just sent to him. He didn't even, I'll give you an audience. But sent him the word. Go and wash. It was so ordinary. It was so simple. They were like, don't we have better? Is this about how fine the pool is? Amen. It's not a physical wash. It's an act of faith. And of course, somebody encouraged you. And when you washed, what happened? It was made whole. Amen. Amen. So you have to be willing. You have to have desire. Amen. Don't let your desire die. Your desire for your miracle should not die. Because if your desire for your miracle dies, it's over. Amen. Because one of the reasons why it's over is that you have an adversary called the devil. Yeah? And he doesn't want the best for you. Amen? So, it's not a level playing ground. Amen? Your desire for your miracle, keep it alive. Study the word. Spend time with God. Receive the word in your spirit. Yeah? In your heart. Yeah? When you receive the word in your heart, let it graduate from your heart to where? To your mouth. When you start saying it, it's not the time the miracle will happen. You must say it before. Amen? You have said it before. Do you know when this woman said it in her heart? Bible does not say clearly, but I can speculate. It was said she was leaving home. Now, if this all what she's thinking now is that I'm going to go out, Jesus is somewhere around there. If I can touch his clothes, I will be healed. Amen? And that's why she did not see the crowd, because she had a mission. Amen? And she got it. Amen? Miracles happen. See, miracles happen. And they are available to me. All I need is to put my faith into action. Let's rise up and round it up there.